relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. Welcome back, dear friends. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Hundreds of stations, millions of listeners across the nation, live streaming as well on YouTube, on Facebook, available on Instagram TV. And don't forget the podcast, of course. Wherever you get your podcast, you can download us, and it's free. We are back. I think we're going to call this the Hour of the Federalist, because we're going to have back-to-back two founders, two guys of one of the best news sources out there. It is, of course, The Federalist. We're going to start with the big man, the Grand Mufti of TheFederalist.com. You know him as Ben Domenech. Ben, welcome back. It's been far too long.
Hey, it's good to be with you as always, and thank you so much for all those kind words, Seb. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're near. We one of our most popular articles at SebGorka.com is the 14 most reliable websites out there for news and information. And Federalist is very near the top. So we you know, you are in my pile of show prep every single day for a reason. So we don't need to you know, tee anything up for you specifically. My theme has been, I presume you saw Newt Gingrich's incredible Fox statement on how to react to this election. I don't want to waste time on how did 70, 80 million people vote for sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden. That's a problem for the future. What about right now, the next days and weeks? And first, your initial reactions to just the events of the last 4 days.
Well, my biggest reaction, because I think it's the one that we can be the most clear about, is the media is an utter failure at what they're supposed to do, namely to tell you the truth. And we knew that because we've been paying attention to all of the different rumor mongering, the conspiracy theories, the disinformation that they've been planting over the past several years about Russia collusion, about impeachment, about every other aspect of this presidency. And so for those of us who've been paying attention, I think we all knew this was the case going into this election. What kind of lies would they tell us? Well, it turned out they've been lying not just to us, but to themselves about the state of the race and about all the different factors that were going in. If you listen to the media, and including, I would say, our friends over at Fox News, you had a completely inaccurate picture of what was going to come out of election night. You thought that this was a race that Joe Biden would be up, you know, so far ahead that you could go to sleep at 10 o'clock.
Right, 10 o'clock at night, he'd be declared, yes. And we have a victor.
Yes, and we also thought that Republicans were going to lose seats in the House. You thought that they were definitely going to lose the Senate.
Yes.
And this is a situation that hasn't happened. And not only that, Seb, I know this is an underrated thing that not a lot of people pay attention to, but the fact that Democrats were unable to flip a single state house,
yes,
after all the money that they spent. And keep in mind, we're also talking about a situation where they spent $250 million, more than that, in fact, trying to unseat Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Susan Collins. How did that work out for them? I mean, this is a situation where if you had the media going around you 24/7 for the past several months, virtually everything they predicted to you was a lie. Now, as to the presidency.
Can I stop you there? We'll talk about this presidency in a second. So two responses to that. There's the question of, you know, what do we do about that in terms of the media? Is it just a lack of professionalism, or is it because they have simply become agents of a political movement or a political party? Is one question. But let's talk about right now. What is that? What is their impact? Whether it's unprofessional, whether it's conscious bias, what is that? What is the impact on the probity of the integrity of this election? I'm sure when you're standing in line to vote in California and you hear Fox declare Arizona's gone for Biden, you might just get out of line. So, Ben, isn't this more than just a question of professionalism in the media?
It is more than just a question of professionalism. You can be professional about this and you can be wrong. It's more of a question, from my perspective, of propaganda. And I know that that's something that you're very familiar with and you've written about. But this is a situation where I really do believe we are dealing with a media, a dominant corporate legacy boomer generation media that has become an institution of propaganda in America that, frankly, runs the Democratic Party more than the other way around. If you listened to the media, as the Democratic Party did, you didn't think that socialism was a problem. You didn't think that all of this leftist rhetoric was a big deal. You thought that AOC being on the cover of Vanity Fair was a good thing. You thought that all of these folks, you know, could be embraced by Nancy Pelosi. Everything would be fine. Look at them. They're cute and they're young, and eventually we'll get to their crazy leftist policies. Instead, you have this call, this amazing phone call with Nancy Pelosi and all of her other minions and all of these leaders of the Democratic Party saying, we can't talk about Medicare for all. Medicare for all is your plan. I mean, you've embraced it. You can't talk about the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is your plan. You've basically all embraced it, including Joe Biden, by the way.
And you can't say defund the police, which has been the mantra of leading senators and even one vice presidential candidate.
It's amazing to me that they were this stupid. But why were they? Because these are professional politicians. Their whole focus is on keeping their jobs. Well, it's because the media lied to them, too. They said that these ideas were popular and that people liked them and that defund the police and BLM and everything else like that was something that was a good thing that they ought to embrace. It turns out that in so many districts, it totally backfired. I mean, it was ridiculous to me, Seb, to see a prominent Latino reporter on CBS News claiming that the reason that President Trump was performing so well among Hispanics across the country was that that was disinformation on Spanish language media. That is just so wait.
All those famous conservative Spanish language TV shows.
Totally. So here's the thing, and this is serious. They tried to do that whole fake news thing after 2016,
yes,
which Donald Trump obviously co-opted and used as a new term. The next thing, the new thing, is disinformation and misinformation, because it sounds more clinical. And so the idea is that you can then flag it on social media or something like that. Imagine a situation, because I think this is going to happen in 2 years during the midterms, where a Republican conservative candidate is running an ad on Spanish language media that says my opponent is embracing these principles because he is deeply socialist. Okay. And, you know, whatever it is, I can see a situation where the media refuses to run that ad or flags it as misinformation because they'll say, oh, he's not a socialist. Yes, he believes in Medicare for all. He believes in the Green New Deal. He believes in seizing your property. He believes in, I mean, it's all these different things that are absolutely the definition of socialism. And they're going to brand it as some kind of misinformation. Look, this is a big problem in the country. I don't think there's an easy solution, but I do think there's one thing that is good, which is that in this era, we have a situation where we have very informed consumers of news, people who are very aware of what's really going on behind the scenes. They're astute enough to know that when that Fox call came in on Arizona, that it was way too early and that it was something that was not justified by what we saw on the ground. Even if Biden ends up winning the state, it's something that was statistically just not justified. And so I think what we do have going for us at this stage, and something that I think we at the Federalists really try to do, is help create more informed consumers of news so that when they see the BS in front of them, they know what it is, they can recognize it, and they won't buy into it.
All right, we've got a couple of minutes left in this segment with Ben Domenech, founder, editor-in-chief of TheFederalist.com, B. Domenech, D-O-M-E-N-E-C-H on Twitter. Talk to us about the presidency. So here we have the facts on the ground. Biggest turnout, biggest vote for a GOP president or nominee in history. More votes from the ethnic minority for a GOP candidate than anyone since Dwight D. Eisenhower. Every state house has been kept in GOP hands. The Senate is still ours, and Nancy is hemorrhaging seats in the House. But Donald Trump wasn't reelected. What's going on?
Look, I think there's a lot of questions to be asked about that, and we're going to have to dig into these results and learn more about them. The number of split ticket votes in particular, I think, is going to be a question. And I do think that there's a lot of major questions about the results that we're seeing from some of the biggest cities in the country, cities where Democrat machines have had enormous effect in the past. Now, here's one thing that I do want your listeners to know. Fraud happens in almost every election in America. A degree of fraud happens.
Even though we're told it doesn't by the mainstream media.
Yes. Even though you're told it doesn't, it almost always happens. Part of the system that we have, though, is that in most elections, the fraud is not significant enough to make a difference in the outcome. And so you have hundreds of ballots here and there, but the outcome isn't fundamentally changed. When elections get close, that's where this level of fraud matters. And I will tell you to people, too, often this fraud takes on very pedestrian and mundane focuses. It's not so much a situation of complicated bells and whistles. It's more like a counter leaves an office with 20,000 ballots in it, and he comes back to the office to count it, and there are only 10,000 there. Right. It's more along those lines than it is some kind of Soviet system.
But when it's a razor edge, when there are certain districts, certain constituencies where we are under 1%, and we're seeing that already, then it can make a difference. We're talking to Ben Domenech. He's from The Federalist. He created thefederalist.com. You've got to bookmark it. You've got to check it out every single day. Follow him as well. B. Domenech on Twitter. We will continue momentarily here on America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C. If you want to have the most up-to-date information, the best guests, analysis, please go to YouTube right now. Hit the subscription button and the notification bell twice, and you'll never miss a thing. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. May be in a battle, but it's still Friday. And for those of you on YouTube who aren't allowed to hear our superlative bumper music because they're a bunch of fascists at Google, it's Dexy's The Midnight Runners, Come On All Eileen, one of my favorite Friday tunes. We are back with Ben Domenech of The Federalist. Please, if you like talk radio, if you understand the importance of having these platforms provide you the information that the mainstream industrial complex of fake news media doesn't want you to hear, support our supporters, especially Mike Lindell. He is a great American, a patriot, the inventor of a pillow that he sold 51 million of. They're that good. I use them. The president uses them. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, just cuddles your cranium through the night, and get up to 60% off now if you drop my name. Not $69.95, $29.95 right now. Go to mypillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com. But you must use the secret code, G-O-R-K-A. Ben, thank you for staying with us on this monumental day, this season of insanity. I'm not a lawyer, but I think I'm pretty practical, pretty common sense. In what universe is it okay to stop people with a judge's writ from going into an election center to observe the counting? And in what universe is it okay to put up screens on the windows of a place where you are counting ballots? I think that's kind of redolent of maybe Turkmenistan, but should it be occurring in a nation that put men on the moon?
Of course it shouldn't. I mean, that's ridiculous. And again, I want to stress here, what we don't know here is really troublesome. Yeah. We need clarity on this. And even if the clarity, look, this should not be outcome based. Even if the clarity tells us that Joe Biden still won a state and Donald Trump lost it, when that's the assumption the media has been saying, it's still important to have that clarity. If you don't have it, then how can you trust the count? How can voters on both sides trust the count? How can they believe that this is still a system that works for the American people? If you look back at the last several decades, as you know, we've seen a dramatic decline in faith in institutions of all manners, not just political, but every aspect of American life. Basically, the only trust that remains is for the military and for small business. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
That's something that happens when you have this kind of lack of clarity. It's really important that we know what's actually going on here. And it's really disturbing to see a situation where the authorities are not being respected in the way that they ought to be. Look, the media wants this over. They want Donald Trump out. They want him hauled out in chains. They want, and they say so, frankly. I mean, this is not something that they've hidden in any respect, including the Biden campaign itself, which said a line today, as you may have seen, about ejecting trespassers from the White House. Well, guess what? That's not the way that the American system is supposed to work. I have never bought for one moment, Seb, the idea that this president would not accede to a peaceful transfer of power if it was clear that that's something that needed to happen.
Well, that makes you a white supremacist, I guess.
I mean, look,
right?
I mean,
that's the logic. That's the logic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of the mainstream media.
Well, if you listen to, I mean, Nicole Hannah-Jones at the New York Times of the 1619 Project, Pulitzer Prize winner, of course, you know, basically went out there and said that she needed to write an article about how Latinos don't make any sense, shouldn't be lumped together, and that some of them are super racist against other ones and that kind of thing. And that was the real motivation.
You're only not a racist if you don't agree with her. That's the bottom line. Let's talk about two things in the last few minutes we have with Ben Domenech, a founder, editor-in-chief of The Federalist. Bookmark them right now, thefederalist.com, B. Domenech on Twitter. We have some anecdotal polling that I trust much more than any other poll from my producer, Jeff. And he's spoken to lots of conservatives since the election. And it's interesting. The dyed-in-the-wool, old-school conservatives who were there from the beginning are giving up. The new Trump voters, the newly minted Trump voters, are prepared to, you know, load the magazines, man the barricades. What does that mean about the state of the conservative movement to you, if that is a trend?
Well, I think it's telling about the shift that's happened in recent years, which is, and we saw this, you know, throughout maybe the Brett Kavanaugh fight, a number of other fights that happened in recent years, where perhaps old guard conservatives, the kind of voices that are speaking from the mountaintop, would say, oh, well, let's let this one go, you know, that right. kind of thing. They were willing to accede to a loss with honor, which is not honorable, in my opinion. But anyway, that kind of aspect of the movement, they're still around, but that's not the attitude of the newer, younger people who view this as more of a confrontational moment. And I think that that's a big tell about the future of conservatism in the country, which is not going to shy away from confrontational culture war issues. It's going to call things as they see them.
Yes.
They're not going to be deferred at all by the media in a way that makes them not call socialism socialism. And that's not something that's going to go away. And neither is the president. Donald Trump is not going away, everybody. There's this mythical idea among all of his haters in the media that, oh, we don't have to pay attention to him if we get him out of the White House. Well, you may be able to finagle your way into that. But this is not a situation where that voice is going away in any way, shape,
or form. Donald Trump wasn't, you couldn't ignore him before he was president, and you're not going to be able to ignore him after he's president. Sorry, snowflakes, that's a fact. Last couple of minutes, you're a smart guy, Ben. I have great respect for you. You have a great podcast, a great product. Listen to it. It's excellent. Let me ask you, as the smart person, observer you are, what is your advice to the president right now? If you're in a meeting with the president, what would you tell him given the events of the last 4 days in America?
I think that he should continue being himself, and I think that he should demand to see all the things that his supporters would like to see. In fact, I mean, I think he should go out there and meet with his supporters, maybe even have a rally or two. It's one of these things where the president needs to continue being himself. He did it all the way till Election Day. He should continue to do it going forward, and he shouldn't let up. This is not a 1960 situation all over again where you had Richard Nixon, you know, deferring to John F. Kennedy, even in a clearly stolen election, because he had a long future in politics. You know, this is a moment where I think the president's supporters expect him to fight, and I don't think that he should stop. At the same time, he should be very clear. Every legal vote should count.
Yes.
It should be counted.
Which is what
it
he's
should
saying.
Be tabulated.
Which is what he's saying.
Which is what he's been saying. And somehow when he says that, you know, that's some terrible, atrocious thing.
It's a dog whistle, I guess.
Exactly. But that is the truth. Every legal vote should count. And if it shows that he lost, as it seems to at the moment, but as we still have a lack of surety about, then of course I think that he will step away as a responsible person would. At the same time, that is a fight that needs to happen because we need to have clarity. We cannot trust the media. We cannot trust these institutions. We certainly cannot trust the city of Philadelphia to produce the kind of results that we can all have confidence in without that lack of transparency.
That's a longer term question. The president needs to fight. I know he will fight. The Electoral College vote is a ways away, but will Philadelphia, will Georgia ever be uncorrupt? That's another question. Follow this man, B. Domenech, on Twitter, thefederalist.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, member of the President's National Security Education Board. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Right now, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have an exploding interview. We had a one-hour interview with Steve Bannon, and it got 250,000 views in the first hour. Go now, America First, Sebastian Gorka. Hit the subscription button and the notifications bell twice, and you'll never miss a thing. Stay with us. Stay on this channel. FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T. The number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Thank you.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Very kind indeed. We are back. And don't worry, we haven't ceded our studio to the Federalist. We just highly respect that organization and the fact that they do real journalism. We had Ben Domenech with us. You want to listen to that. You want to watch that on YouTube if you missed it. And now we have his counterpart, the co-founder of the Federalist. They don't like vowels for some reason. Follow them on Twitter, FDRLST. Follow Sean Davis at Sean M. Dav. Sean, welcome back to America First.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the question that is, at least as far as I'm concerned, in the last 24 hours, lighting up the internet, social media. I've posted a few of them. They, of course, need to be verified. But people are sending in to the campaign headquarters, the Trump campaign headquarters, and posting just online video after video after video of, how shall I put this, felonies being committed at polling stations. Ballot workers, poll station officers filling in ballots in the absence of the person that was represented on that ballot and doing them on multiple occasions. We don't know when they were filmed. We don't know where they were filmed. They're being sent to the Trump headquarters. Your comments on just the state of play 4 days out from the election for the president.
Well, I guess the thing I'm so disturbed about is not any particular video or anecdote. There's two things going on, and really Philadelphia is the epicenter of it. In Pennsylvania, before the election, you had a bunch of unelected judges there, ignore state law, and they decided that you could keep voting after the election. And the way they did this was by saying, look, you have to count ballots that you get for several days after the election. Normally, in a normal world, there has to be proof on those ballots that they were submitted in time. That's usually verified by a postmark. But the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, actually, you're going to have to prove that it was late or invalid. And you have to assume, even if there's no postmark, that it was valid. Which what happened there was you had the Pennsylvania Supreme Court give Democrats a license to print ballots for 3 days with no postmark after the election. That's number one. Number two is the refusal to allow election observers in to come and see these vote counts, to have the opportunity to challenge things that are going on that are potentially fraudulent. When you put those two things together, the license to vote after the election and the refusal to allow transparency oversight, from that point on, I actually don't need to see any anecdotes. I don't need to see videos. I don't need to hear stories. Those two facts alone tell me that there's fraud going on.
And have you heard any explanation, Sean, from the left, from Democrats, from local officials in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, as to why, for example, with a court order in hand, Trump campaign officials are being prevented from going in there to simply observe the counting of the ballots? Has any explanation been proffered at this time?
I've not heard any explanation. It baffles my mind. We all know the real reason, because it you can't get caught doing something if you don't let people watch you do something. But as far as what their actual stated rationale is, I don't have a clue. There's no rationale on earth that's defensible. And what I find fascinating is we had a newspaper who, over the past 4 years, it changed its masthead and its logo to say "Democracy Dies in Darkness."
Which one said "Democracy Dies in Darkness"? Which one was that?
I think that was the Jeff Bezos Amazon Washington Post, and they said that because they wanted to put themselves up as the beacons of transparency. They're the only ones actually fighting so that we can see these dark deeds in the light of day. And what we're actually finding is that the Democrats and in the media, what they truly believe is that Democrats thrive in darkness. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Philadelphia. It's what we're seeing in Detroit, where they were putting up boards on the windows so people on the outside who weren't allowed in to observe also couldn't see through the windows what was happening.
So what is your expectation moving forward? Do you see enough fortitude, enough of a spine coming out of the man who seems to be having votes stolen from him, that his campaign and the establishment GOP is going to fight this with some intestinal fortitude in the courts? What are you reading? What are the trends that you're seeing in the last 4 days when it comes to the next phase of this election?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm looking at right now is not so much Philadelphia or Detroit. I'm looking at North Carolina and especially Georgia. We saw what they did in Fulton County, which is one of the major counties surrounding Atlanta. They pretended that they were going to stop voting, 2, 3 a.m. on election night. They sent people home. At one point, they claimed a water main broke, so they couldn't count votes. Don't know how that works. And then magically overnight, you see a whole bunch of ballots show up, and they've kept showing up. And the issue down in Georgia isn't just the presidential election. It's that there are two Senate seats at stake.
Yes.
And they've already pushed through shenanigans one of these into a runoff in January. So now we're going to have two seats in January up for grabs in an area where they just beta tested to steal. That's number one. Number two, look at North Carolina. There's no reason on earth that hasn't been called. There's no reason on earth that the Senate race and the presidential race haven't been called. And yet it's being kept open. And I think we all know why it's being kept open. So my big worry now isn't just the presidential race. It's whether they're going to steal the Senate as well.
Sean, let's not be shy. Let's not be coy. Why are those states not reporting the results? Well, why is a relatively small state not reporting the election results of 4 days ago?
I think we all can surmise what's really going on here. And it blows my mind that Florida, one of the biggest states in the country, a very diverse population. There's rural areas.
Yes.
There's city areas. They had their vote done on Tuesday night. It was done. Texas is done, also one of the biggest states in the nation. What is it about these blue-run cities and states that makes it incapable for them to count votes? And the hypothesis that I would throw out is they want to keep everything open for as long as possible to give them the maximum chance of cooking the books and getting a Democrat to win.
Here's the question at hand. Why is it Democrat states, Democrat cities that can't give us the results when massive, massive states with large absentee vote populations can do so on the night of the election? We're talking to Sean Davis of The Federalist, co-founder. Follow him at Sean M. Dav. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, if you are in pain right now, please just stop and try this product. It is providing relief to tens of thousands of Americans as we speak, me included. The three-week quick starter pack costs only $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? I tell you what, potential liberation from your pain. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, or go to relieffactor.com, and you've got to use the secret code. You've got to use my name, G-O-R-K-A. What have you been waiting for? As the president says at his rallies, this, what are you waiting for? What have you got to lose? I tell you what, the only thing you have to lose is your pain. I suffered with lower back pain issue for 9 years, almost a decade. I started taking Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. That's also the message from Reggie in Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Wow. Don't take my word for it. Listen to all those who put their testimonials on the relieffactor.com website, and listen to those who are now pain-free. That could be you. You deserve to find out if you could be the next success story. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C. Live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, available on Instagram TV, and wherever you get your podcasts, just look for America First, Sebastian Gorka. And if you're on YouTube, do us a favor, subscribe, hit the notifications bell twice, and wherever you get your podcast, also a little review would go a long, long way. Now more than ever, we need access to the facts and pushing back on the propaganda. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. I have to admit, going into this week's election, I was concerned with Democrat governors, Democrat secretaries of state, and local bureaucrats at the polling stations. I didn't think it would be Fox News and the media I had to worry about as much as it turns out they have been a concern. We're going to ask somebody who actually understands what real journalism looks like. He's the co-founder of The Federalist, thefederalist.com. He's Sean Davis. Follow him on Twitter, Sean M. Dav. Sean, look, the president's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to fight Rudy Giuliani. He's been deployed. This is now going to go to the courts. But there's a bigger question on the long term. What is the role of the media in calling elections in the biggest, most powerful nation in the world?
It's a great question. My personal view is they have no business calling anything. They've lied to us for years about everything. They lied about 2016. They lied about Russia. They lied about Ukraine and impeachment. They lied about Kavanaugh. They lied about the polls this year. I mean, recall the Washington Post poll that said Biden would win Wisconsin by 17. Nate Silver at one point said the Senate might go plus 12 Democrat. The media lies. They lie for a reason. They lie with an agenda, and they lie to help the Democrat Party. So, no, I don't think the media has any role. And, in fact, you know, I'm a big sports fan. I love college football. I watch it all the time. I know a lot of Americans are into sports. And one thing we Americans have figured out is when we're watching sports, when we're watching a football game, when the time's up and one team has more points than the other team, we're pretty good at figuring out which team won. Okay, I don't need the sports casters. I don't need Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler telling me halfway through the third that the game's over when it's actually tied and one team's driving. So I think the media has no role. They need to knock it off. I'm sick of them. They're a bunch of propagandistic liars. And the sooner we can minimize their role in American life, the better for all of us.
But you know, Media Matters did four pieces on me yesterday. They got very excited. And I want to make sure that they're typing away right now. Sean Davis, are you stating that the media should be circumscribed? Should there be control of the media? Should they not be allowed to call these fallacious state results, such as Fox did for Arizona? As conservatives who believe in the Constitution, unlike the other side, what is the right remedy to what we witnessed this week?
I mean, well, you brought up media control. The control that the media needs right now is some self-control.
Not going to happen. Which body, which organ, which journalist actually cares about moral rectitude and accuracy in reporting, Sean?
Well, I think we're seeing the solution play out before us. And you can see what it is if you look at charts of the American people's trust in media and trust in various major institutions. There is none. And I mean, this might be the death knell of the media's credibility if the nails weren't already in the coffin. They lie about everything, and everyone saw it with Kavanaugh. I think everyone's eyes were open. And the sooner we stop looking to these people who are a bunch of charlatans and con artists and somehow being experts, the better. And thankfully, I think with each passing day, with each new media scandal, the public gets more and more wise to the nonsense that they spread out. And it's why the term fake news is so powerful, because everyone has seen it with their own eyes. They have heard the lies with their own ears, and they're done.
And the great irony is, of course, the left came up with the phrase fake news to use against the president and his supporters, and he has deftly turned it around and used it against them, because they are the proponents of fake news. We're talking to Sean Davis on Twitter. You can follow him at Sean M. Dav, co-founder of The Federalist, thefederalist.com. Sean, let me just push back for a second. As long as we have big tech, as long as we have, you know, Jeff Bezos, who can treat the Washington Post as his hobby project and just chuck another half a billion there, another half a billion here, we would like market forces to determine the survival of journalistic platforms based upon supply and demand. But if you're being pumped full of cash by co-founders of Google or Amazon's Jeffrey Bezos, then the market will never separate the wheat from the chaff. Is that not a danger?
Well, it's a real danger, and I'm a huge believer in the power of markets and the need for liberty and for people to have choices with what they do. But when it comes to media, and especially big tech, in social media, there is no market. There is no free market. What you actually have are massive monopolies. Google's a great example. They own YouTube, Google Fiber. They control your browser. They own the ad market. They own the search market. A big problem we have now in big tech social media is that there are no markets. That it is a pure monopoly run by a bunch of left-wing Silicon Valley oligarchs who are using their monopoly power to destroy their competitors and stifle any speech that they don't want and they don't like. And there is no reason on earth for conservatives to sit back and accept that and somehow say, oh, well, if you don't like it, create your own internet company. Okay, a bunch of us have done that. We did exactly what a bunch of these eunuchs have said for years to do. And what the left and big tech has done instead is use their market power to inappropriately push people out, to screw their competitors and shut down speech. And that's got to stop real quick.
Yes, I think he did both use the word eunuch and screw in the same sentence there. He's Sean Davis. That's why we like The Federalist. In the last minute we have with you, Sean, what is your expectation in terms of media coverage of the election for the weeks going forward? We saw this report today. I have to verify it, that Newsmax live coverage of the election beat Fox. Is that potentially what the future holds, that the upstarts are going to be challenging the big guns and the big guns are going to lose their market share?
I think people in general are done with kind of the corporate media, and that goes for the left and the right. There's a reason people like Joe Rogan, who just all he does is have a podcast, yeah, and he brings on interesting people, and he asks some questions, and he lets them answer. That's the future. The future is this kind of disaggregated, non-corporate media. And you saw how powerful it was before Twitter and YouTube and all these people cracked down. The more they crack down, the more the big corporate, big tech media crack down, the more you're going to see people go to alternative sources of information. And so it's going to be a fascinating thing to unfold in the coming weeks and months and years.
Indeed, and we know that every day we'll be checking out thefederalist.com. He's Sean Davis, co-founder. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting to hundreds of stations, millions of listeners, and live streaming on YouTube from the relieffactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C. If you have a cell phone and you're with one of the big cell phone carriers, guess what? They're in bed with big tech. They're in bed with the left. When you pay your bill at the end of the month, they send a portion of it to left wing causes like Planned Parenthood, like gun control organizations, and even Democrat candidates. Why would you let them use your money against you? Change right now. You can keep your old number, but transfer your account to the only Christian conservative cell phone company. It's Patriot Mobile. Right now, this week, you will get $45 off any phone in stock or a brand new free Samsung A11 phone with a 2-year commitment. Liberate yourself today. Call 972-PATRIOT. They are ranked number one in customer service in the United States. Go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA for those massive, massive discounts. You won't regret it. And guess what? At the end of the month, they contribute to things you care about, whether it's right to life, whether it's the Second Amendment, whether it's the First Amendment. These are the good guys. Call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. That's PatriotMobile.com/Gorka. Back after these messages.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Seb Gorka!
You know, I think I've been active in this since 1958. That's 62 years. I am the angriest I have been in that entire six decades. You have a group of corrupt people who have absolute contempt for the American people, who believe that we are so spineless, so cowardly, so unwilling to stand up for ourselves, that they can steal the presidency and we'll wring our hands, bring in a few lawyers, and do nothing. My hope is that President Trump will lead the millions of Americans who understand exactly what's going on. The Philadelphia machine is corrupt. The Atlanta machine is corrupt. The machine in Detroit is corrupt. And they're trying to steal the presidency, and we should not allow them to do that. First of all, under federal law, we should lock up the people who are breaking the law. You stop somebody from being an observer, you just broke federal law. You hide and put up paper so nobody can see what you're doing, you just broke federal law. You bring in ballots that aren't real, you just broke federal law. I am sick and tired of corrupt left-wing Democrats who believe that we are too timid and too easy to intimidate, and therefore, let us go out and steal it. That's exactly, I mean, no one should have any doubt. You are watching an effort to steal the presidency of the United States, and this is not about Donald Trump. This is about the American people. Do the American people have the right in an honest election with honest, legitimate ballots to pick their leader, or are we now just sheep to be dominated by the high-tech businesses, the news media, and the various political machines? And are we supposed to surrender? So I think this is one of the great, this is a crisis in the American system, comparable to Washington on Christmas Eve or comparable to Lincoln at Gettysburg. This is a genuine, deep crisis of our survival.
Newt is right. 70 million of us chose Donald Trump. They think we're afraid. They think they'll get away with it. I'm angry. Newt's angry. Are you angry? Donald Trump must be thanked for helping us demonstrate just how corrupt and perverse the left has become. It's time to fight. It's time to protest. It's time to make sure that the rule of law is upheld in America, because we have to guarantee what the president promised us. And I'll leave you on the words of my boss. God bless.
And to those who would try to impose socialism on the United States, we again deliver a very simple message. America will never be a socialist country.